the Hagman and Hagman Report. That's Hagman Report on Facebook, at Hagman Report on Twitter, Hagman and Hagman.com. That's Hagman and Hagman.com for our website for the show. And of course, HagmanReport.com for show prep, news articles, contributing author, reports. And if, Catherine Crable is listening, or if she's, just so you know, the other night, Catherine Crable lost her father. Our prayers are out to her. It's Catherine Crable, a good friend of Hagman Report and a contributing author. Catherine Crable, her father passed away. And our prayers go out to her and her family. Paul McGuire is our guest on this episode. Folks, paulmcguire.us, that's the place to go for his wisdom and insights. My goodness, his article about the debates, the election, the 2016 election and what it is. Every article that Paul writes is to me, is, I connect with his writings, whether it's his books, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, Mass Awakening, all of his books, I certainly connect with him. And I recommend not just his articles on his websites, but his books for your libraries. Before we get back to Paul, have you done it yet, folks? Have you gone to greenovative.com? Greenovative.com. It's a small company in Florida. They've created what is known as the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to the unit. This is something I think everyone should have in their bug out bag. I personally endorse this product. I'm excited about it. The newest development is the Super G-Mag Power, G-Mag battery recharger with replacement magnesium power pucks. Okay. What this does is recharges rechargeable batteries with salt water. How simple is that? It's great. This is a great unit. It's made in America by a small company in Florida. This is a fantastic, and I mean a fantastic, piece of equipment. We have tried it. We've used it. It works. Powers up your cell phone. You don't need sun. You don't need wind. You don't need a hand crank. You don't need a little chipmunk on one of those wheels. No, you just need salt water. All you need is a little ordinary table salt, actually about 2 teaspoons, a little water. Shake it for a few seconds and the unit instantly makes electricity. That's right. Using magnesium as the power source, just adding salt water makes power instantly available. Super G-Mag is affordable, lightweight. It weighs about 8 ounces. You can't beat that. It's durable. It's EMP proof and environmentally friendly. Super G-Mag charger will provide convenient and safe power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources are not available anywhere, anytime, any weather, day or night. That's right. Super G-Mag charger has an indefinite shelf life and will charge an unlimited number of batteries by replacing the power pucks themselves. And hey, even in a pinch, if you don't have salt water, it does run on urine. That's right. If you're alive, you've got power. It's got no moving parts. It's able to provide enough power to charge about 130 batteries per power puck pair. How's that? Say that fast 5 times. Anyway, G-Mag, available at Greenovative. Just go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to that website. You won't be sorry. I will say that. And don't forget, while we're talking about our sponsors, and all of our sponsors we have vetted, and we stand behind their products. T.C. Joseph has written a great series of novels. Go to T.C. Joseph's This Generation series of novels. Actually, just go to thisgenerationseries.com. Go to HagmanReport.com and click on the link to This Generation series. In his thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of 3 families in a world where conspiracy theories and Bible prophecies collide. His novels move through recent history to the events that are just on our horizon. His witty style and fascinating characters provide a great read. Not only will our audience, that's you, will love these books, but they can be a great tool. And I have given them out to awaken friends and family members to the perilous times that we face. Rave reviews by Kirkus. For example, Kirkus review states that readers of End Times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Ink reviews as well calls this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Folks, go to thisgenerationseries.com. That's right. thisgenerationseries.com. This Generation Series is available on Amazon.com as well. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And coming soon, Book 3, Penance. So do that, folks. It's great. With Christmas coming up as well, great gifts. Great gifts. In fact, somebody in this room is going to get... That's right. Is going to get that. Yes, Eric. Yes. Stocking stoppers for Eric. All right. But Paul McGuire, speaking of stocking stoppers, Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017 is a fantastic read. No wasted space in that book. Paul McGuire, the author, and of course, we're so blessed to have him tonight. Paul, thanks for hanging with us and talking about all of this. Somebody sent me an email during the break saying, why are you talking about this when so many other events are taking place? The, you know, stuff going on in Syria, the stuff going on domestically with the dollar and such. But I think it's important, don't you? I mean, I think what we're...
excuse me. Sorry. Shouldn't clear your throat when you're on the air.
That's all right.
So that was a very important question that person asked, and I'm really actually glad they asked it, because that's been going on in the back of my mind. And I am going to tonight talk about Syria, Russia and China's involvement in Syria, the potential of a World War III or a Psalms 83 or an Ezekiel 38 scenario regarding Syria, America, Europe, Russia, China, etc. I'm going to talk about that because everything we're talking about directly flows into that. So I'm going to answer this person's question because it deserves to be answered, but it's going to probably require a stretch on their part to understand how what we just talked about ties into her or his concerns on Syria, et cetera. Okay, so because you have to understand the basics, excuse me, before you understand Syria and things like that. So if we go back to World War One, they were developing super spies and super soldiers really as far back as Babylon. The use of psychedelic drugs to enhance assassins and warfare and soldiers goes back many, many empires, thousands of years. So the development of super spies using psychedelic drugs like LSD and other drugs and very radical mind control conditioning, which requires the breaking apart of the human personality and reassembling it on many different levels. This has been incorporated by Russia, the former Soviet Union, Communist China, North Korea, Great Britain, Germany, England, the United States, and other nations. They are all up to speed and have been for decades in the creation of super soldiers and super spies. So the MKUltra programming, which was the birthing point for a Manchurian candidate. And if people want to understand how a Manchurian candidate process works, watching the movie The Manchurian Candidate would give them a little glimpse. And the better Manchurian Candidate movie, of course, is the first one, the original one, with Frank Sinatra in black and white, because it gives you an inside look at how they can program somebody to be an assassin and place them into a deep hypnotic state. Okay, so we have to understand that that's a reality, and it's not necessarily and it's not always intelligence agency based, even if we're talking about these other foreign nations. It can often be Illuminati based or a secret occult society based. So this creates super spies, and then you can create modifications of super spies through monarch programming. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who has bipolar disorder or manic depressive disorder, I am certainly not saying that everybody who has bipolar disorder is a victim of Monarch programming. So please, I hope people get that. But when you shadow the human personality and you break it apart and you create multiple personalities through shock, trauma, pain, drugs, and hypnosis, that's the essence of Monarch programming, which is a spinoff from the Manchurian Candidate programming. Now, I talk about all this in detail in the first book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, and in Mass Awakening, and in, excuse me, Standing Down Goliath. So these science and technologies have been around for a while. Now, I'm not saying that I have 100% conclusive proof. It's a working hypothesis based on research, because I'm an outsider, ultimately. I mean, I have no desire to be part of a satanic occult or the Illuminati or whatever. I'm a Christian. So understanding that they already have this methodology and this science down, we look at Marilyn Monroe, the lover of President Kennedy. Was she simply a seductress, or was she a trained spy, if you will, through Monarch programming? And they call it a presidential model, where somebody can be programmed to use sex and intimacy and their personality, either male or female, to develop a sexual romantic relationship with somebody and get information via pillow talk, etc. So this is something that's happened a lot, and it's used by Russia and other nations also.
And it's all, it seems like it's all, well, not all, but at the epicenter of such such activity is the sex. It's trauma based. It's it's spy versus spy,
right,
tactics, you know.
Right.
And people might not believe that, but you don't have to. It doesn't matter what people believe. If you don't believe it, it doesn't matter. I mean, it exists, and in fact, it was revealed in multiple committees throughout the 70s, you know. So,
right.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It was admitted to at a congressional hearing when Senator Kennedy asked the question to the heads of one of the intelligence agencies, and he responded that we use this programming, this procedure for many years, but we no longer do it. Now, that's questionable that they no longer do it, but he admitted to it, okay? And this is the head of an intelligence agency in the United States, and that was Senator Edward Kennedy. So right. This is a reality. So the person's asking the question about Syria and Russia and China and a potential U.S. conflict, but we have to look at the backdrop, which is that modern military warfare is an extension today, as it has always been in human history. It's an extension of a psychological warfare backdrop and a spiritual warfare backdrop. Now, where I'm going to ultimately go with this is essential for every one of your listeners to completely grasp and master. You can't play at it. You really have to grasp this, because unless you grasp this, you are always going to be kind of like some figure in the Matrix movie trying to find out, you know, what's real and what's unreal. You have to understand that the way our reality that we live in, the physical dimensional reality that we live in, is just part of the reality that we live in. It's not a theory, it's a fact that we live in a multidimensional reality with a fourth dimension and a spiritual world. For those people who are skeptical, that was proven scientifically with the advent, not that many years ago, of quantum physics and string theory, which proved that there were at least 13 dimensions beyond or incorporating the physical dimensions of our senses. So that's a reality. And see, modern militaries understand this. Doing research for the newest book, A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017, and the four DVD set, doing research for that book, I did tremendous amount of research in the former Soviet Union's psychic spying program and their incorporation of supernatural power with their modern military. Now, Adolf Hitler and the Nazis used this, but the U.S. military forces used it, Great Britain's military forces used it, and Russia's military forces used it. They were all involved in one degree or another with accessing multidimensional information and psychic information to conduct physical dimension, physical warfare, and they are to this date. And I want the person who's thinking about Syria to keep this in mind, because we're going to answer that question. So people have to absolutely grasp this imperative principle regarding an accurate assessment of reality, because unless they understand this, they're always going to be clueless, and they're always going to be coming up short. So let me play this out and then integrate it back into the Manchurian candidates, monarch mind control, and then Syria, which is kind of like a Twilight Zone experience in and of itself, but it will work. Okay, so we have the basic reality defined in the Bible, and it's very interesting that the Bible is the first book in the history of mankind to discuss multidimensional reality and multidimensional warfare in precise terms. This goes back to the Tower of Babel. It goes back to the Old Testament, where there are countless accounts of people interacting with an unseen dimension or an invisible realm in the context of warfare. In the context of warfare. And a case in point would be when the prophet Elijah prays to God and asks God to open the eyes of his servant, because his servant is having a panic attack because he sees the Syrian army and the Syrian king moving against them in massive numbers with massive chariots, and they're about ready. Elijah and his servant and all the men of Israel with them are about to be slaughtered. Their blood is about to be spilt on the battlefield by, interestingly, pay close attention. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the person who asked the question about Syria. It's the king of Syria. It's the king of Syria. Notice the name of the nation, Syria. This was thousands of years ago. The king of Syria and his mighty armies are coming against the children of Israel, and the king of Syria is about ready to slaughter them. So Elijah asked God to supernaturally open the eyes of his servant so he could see multidimensional reality. And then he blurts out those words, "Behold, the hills are filled with chariots of fire, and those that be with us are more than those that be with them." So what Elijah's servant was looking at now, he had his view of reality altered and made more precise. He now saw the invading army of the king of Syria, the massive number of soldiers coming against them, but now he also saw countless numbers of angelic armies from another dimension, and in addition to the angelic armies from another dimension, the chariots of fire, which represents, by the way, the military technology of God from another dimension. Now, you never hear people speak about this. It's as if it doesn't exist, but it does exist according to the Bible. God is not only the creator of the universe, mankind, etc., but God also creates supernatural technology. His angelic armies are using supernatural chariots of fire. This is God's technology. So when it's all played out, the king of Syria and his military army
slaughtered, and the children of Israel triumph on the battlefield against Syria. And we see, of course, the Apostle Paul talking about this in the book of Ephesians. "For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places." This hierarchy of high-powered demonic beings that specifically were ruling in the Middle East, the prince of Persia or Iran, and the prince of Greece or Grecia which represents the European-Asian axis of nations, which plays out, by the way, in the Psalms 83 military conflict, which involves and names Syria by name. Now, this incorporation of extra-dimensional entities in physical military battles, and by extra-dimensional entities, we can either be referring to demonic beings, but we could also be referring to God's angels, his holy angels. And so we now incorporate in modern scientific warfare things like the CERN Hadron Collider. And the CERN Hadron Collider, according to the scientific director, who was not a Christian, he was a secular atheist, the scientific former scientific director of the CERN Hadron Collider said that one of the purposes of CERN was to allow or to create an interdimensional portal for extra-dimensional entities to come into the physical dimension. As people who believe the Bible, we know that that is fallen angels entering the earth. Okay, so we have this going on now in our current age of warfare. So then we talk about the final battle, military battle on planet Earth, which is Armageddon. And when we read Revelation, we see that there's these very bizarre creatures that come out of the abyss to fight against Christ and his the armies of heaven at Armageddon.
You all right, Paul?
No, I'm fine. This microphone had a problem. Sorry about that.
Okay. No, that's all right. We heard kind of a thump, and I just wanted to make sure you're all right. All right. Go ahead, sir. We might be having a problem with our sound there.
I don't know what happened there. I don't know, Paul. You said the microphone flipped about a minute before we heard that thumping noise just now. It sounded like the audio changed completely, which was kind of weird.
There you go. Now we can hear you, brother. Now we got you loud and clear, buddy.
Thank God. Okay, so in Armageddon, we see that there's this battle between the physical, all the armies on Earth fight against Christ at his second coming, and they fight against the armies of heaven that are descending from heaven with Christ. And then we see that these creatures come out of the abyss to fight militarily in this Armageddon battle. And they're very bizarre-looking creatures. And when you read how they're described, the conclusion has to be that they're either, because they come out of the abyss, they have to be demonic beings that are the soldiers of Lucifer in the final battle of Armageddon. So this is a military battle at the end of the age. Now, all of this has to be in the back of our minds. The reality of another dimension, the reality of military warfare in the physical dimension, and the reality of military warfare coming out of and being played out in the spiritual dimension. This is all real. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. And when we look at the U.S. military and the Russian military, et cetera, they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars investigating this and learning how to incorporate it. Dr. Robert Monroe, who was a military expert and analyst in the field of using brain waves to alter consciousness, ultimately for the purpose of creating weaponry, for the military, is one such application, as well as the psychic spying programming and the remote viewing programming. So now we recognize that there are demonic entities and other realities involved in military warfare. So when we read about the Manchurian candidates and the super spies and the super soldiers, which use LSD and occult rituals and techniques along with the programming. We see that there's a demonic element in the creation of some of these super soldier programs, etc. There's a demonic element to it. It's not purely secular. There's drugs, there's pain, there's drugs, hypnosis. But see, monarch programming, when it shatters the personality into multiple personalities, those multiple personalities individually are called alters. Why are they called alters? Because it's making reference to a satanic worship altar. So the multiple personalities in advanced mind control programming uses the vocabulary of the occult when it talks about the split personalities as being alters. So this moves us into an entirely different dimension when we talk about modern warfare. Now, these mind control developments, why can't they be, and why are they not operational in the area of raising up powerful figures to fulfill specific assignments and tasks, both in the political arena, the media arena, the entertainment arena, and so on and so forth? And I would suggest to you,
we're coming up against the break. Okay. I want to stop right there, and we're definitely going to pick up on this on the other side. Why, in the MK Ultra project, are these mental weapons, or these people making, you know, the mind turn into a weapon? Why are they not being used to fulfill these leadership roles in the different industries? Folks, we're listening to Paul McGuire. PaulMcGuire.us is his website. A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017 is his latest book, and we'll be right back with Paul right after this.
The Hagman and Hagman Report. So proud to have with us as our guest Paul McGuire, Mr. Paul McGuire. That's PaulMcGuire.us. PaulMcGuire.us is his website. Folks, October 13th. This is so important. In fact, this is going to be, I believe, one of the, if not the most important, intercessory prayer meetings ever done by Paul McGuire. Thursday, October 13th. 7 o'clock p.m. at the Garland Hotel. Now, that's the formerly the Beverly Garland Hotel in North Hollywood, California. Paul McGuire is going to have an intercessory prayer meeting there, and I would urge everyone within driving distance, I mean one day driving distance of that location, to attend. I don't make these recommendations lightly, or just because there's an event. I don't necessarily recommend it. This I do. I've had the occasion to hear Paul in person, and it's like nothing else. The inspiration that you receive, the information, inspiration, the prayer, the movement of the Spirit, to me is one of the most phenomenal things I've ever seen. And I just want to say thank you to Paul McGuire, because that it's so important. So October 13th. Thursday, October 13th in North Hollywood, California at the Garland Hotel. That is the Days of Awe, sponsored by the Paradise Mountain Church International. Please, folks, we need you to be there. We need the prayers. We need we need that collective, the aggregate prayer. And Paul is going to head that up. And I just want to say thank you, Paul McGuire, for that. Before we get back to Paul, I just want to remind everyone that, folks, you know, we are a listener-supported show. I was talking with JD earlier today. There's nothing more that we want to do is to cut ties with the online advertising, with YouTube and such. And we don't want to do that. We want to offer clean, fresh, seamless programming. And we thank those of you who have supported us and are supporting us to get our word out and have quality guests on, and to be able to get the voice of the quality guests like Paul McGuire to all the reaches of the world. 111 countries last year this program was heard in 111 countries. Think about that. And it's not because of us. It's because of you. And we understand that. It's in spite of us, but it's because of you. So thank you for your prayers and your support. And Paul McGuire is worthy of our support as well. Go to paulmcguire.us and support his ministry. Please do that. And you can support his ministry directly or through his books, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. Start there and keep going. But next Thursday, October 13th, that intercessory prayer meeting, key, pivotal.
And the admission is free. You just go to paulmcguire.us to register, right, and you can attend. Before the break, Paul, you were talking about multiple personalities, how the MK Ultra project shatters personalities, and how they are termed altars, and you said that they are termed altars for being a satanic altar, to boil it down. But you were asking the question, why has the MK Ultra program not spawned leaders in different fields of entertainment, politics, and these other industries? You want to pick up right where you left off?
Sure. And if you don't mind, before I do, I thank you for mentioning the Paradise Mountain Church meeting. I just want to add to what Doug said. This is the most important meeting that I believe we've ever held, and we've been holding regular meetings for a long time. And the reason is that I believe, as many of your listeners do, that this is the most critical, important time in the history of America, because America is literally facing two different futures. One future will be disastrous, and one future will allow a certain degree of freedom and prosperity. And I'm going to be very blunt. Either people are going to pray and seek the face of God and his power now because they choose to, or if they don't do that, then the chaos and darkness will descend upon them with such force, they will be driven to their knees to pray by force. And I believe that it is essential. So I'm giving a very strong prophetic message based on the Word of God on the future of America, and also the power of peaceful, law-abiding spiritual warfare and prayer in changing the destiny of a nation. And I hope that every person that has even a remote sensitivity to the call of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit will obey the Holy Spirit and come and join us. And as you said, Joe, the event is free, of course, but you must register. That's for security reasons and everybody's safety. And you simply go to paulmcguire.us to register. Now, what I'm about to say is going to tie into the purpose of our prayer and meeting October 13th. And that is, in the history of warfare and conflict, and in the history of the control of planet Earth, that means controlling the economic systems, the religious systems, the masses of people, money system, educational system, every system that you can think of that controls people and controls power, political systems. Ultimately, if you had the ability to look into the invisible realm, you would see the activity and presence of very powerful beings, demonic forces, such as the ones that Daniel encountered when he was dealing with the king of Babylon, and he had to battle these territorial spirits like the prince of Iran or Persia for the control of Middle Eastern territory. So when we look at these monarch programming, for example, this is a cult. It may be used and applied by various militaries around the world, such as Russia, China, Britain, America, and so on and so forth. But it's occult-based. In other words, it comes from satanic Luciferian information and has been incorporated by militaries, and then they've added on the use of psychedelic drugs like LSD, and then age-old techniques of mind control, such as pain, drugs, shock, and hypnosis. So somebody, we raised the question about people in the, who are high up in the areas of politics, political leaders, entertainment industry leaders like actors and actresses and stars, cultural leaders, celebrity authors, people who have enormous power in society. Could it be that some of them are or have been through a modified Manchurian candidate style programming, not to be assassins, but to function in their particular field, whether it's entertainment or whatever, and have some of them been through monarch mind control type programming? And I believe, as I point out in A Prophecy in the Future of America and Mass Awakening and Standing Down Goliath and the new book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, that indeed these people are among us, and not only here in the United States, but in other nations around the world. A very early model, like with cars, with Ford, we had, what was it, the Model A Ford or the Model T Ford? Were those the earlier cars by Ford?
Yeah, the T-Birds, the Model T.
Okay, yeah. All right, so let's call this the Model Ts of MK-Ultra modern programming. You take an ordinary guy, because he was ordinary, Adolf Hitler, a starving artist on the streets of Austria and Germany, got rejected from art school, was an alcoholic, and basically the world would have classified him as a loser. He had nothing going for him. But he was deeply involved in the occult and participated in satanic rituals, took psychedelic drugs, and took place in occult rituals. So the next thing you know, he is the political leader, the political messiah of the Third Reich and the Nazis, and through the charisma he generates and through his speaking ability and his debating ability, he literally mesmerizes a nation and then leads them. And when he leads them, he's constantly contacting demonic forces for supernatural intelligence. Well, where did he get all those speaking abilities and charisma and this weird power to memorize people? He was trained. He was programmed by the secret occult societies of Germany. They raised him up as a leader. So he's a living example that we all know of somebody who functioned in this programming and then became head of a nation. And he was elected. He was elected. He didn't have to seize control by force. He was elected in a popular election in Germany. Well, I believe that in many spheres of influence, like entertainment, politics, and many other areas, there are a percentage of those individuals, male and female, who have been through this kind of programming. I think they exist in the music industry. They exist in politics. They exist in all kinds of fields. And I think that they've been through programming. Now, I'm not going to name people that I suspect may have been through this, but I want to people to understand, and I explain this in the books and A Prophecy of the Future of America, I want people to understand that occult rituals are an essential part of this, and that people who have gone through this kind of programming, when you look at their lives closely, they leave common clues or common signatures. Many people have wondered and speculated whether the mistress for President John F. Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe, had been through such programming, because she would be called, if she had, a presidential model, where she had these amazing powers of sexual seduction, and she won the heart of Kennedy and then allegedly reported on him. That spying technique of using sexuality, of course, has been around for centuries. But when you add to it the occult component of monarch mind control, it becomes very powerful. Now, in terms of signatures and clues of people that have gone, who may have gone through this thing, you'll often see strange sexual habits. you know, areas of perversion or excess or things sexually that just they exist in society, but they often express themselves in people who have gone through this kind of thing. You'll see other things. You'll see unusual abilities, for example, in the area of communicating, or unusual abilities in other areas, or unusual mental faculties, high intelligence. And another thing that is a conspicuous signature, and it doesn't mean that everybody who knows multiple languages has gone through monarch mind control, but one of the characteristics of some people who have gone through monarch mind control is they know like 10 or 8 languages and can speak them fluently and with a perfect accent. So I believe they exist. And I give enough evidence to support that in my books, and I believe they're here among us. And let me throw out some, let's call them historical or evidences of potentials. I won't even say potentials. Let's just say people who have had usual backgrounds. And I'm not suggesting that they have gone through the programming, but their unusual backgrounds and biographies open us up to the possibility that maybe they have or maybe they haven't. But their statistical possibility that they have is heightened by their unusual backgrounds. Julian Assange, I have no idea whether he's gone through this programming. Yes or no. So I'm not alleging that he has. But he had a very strange childhood. He was raised either in Australia or New Zealand, I forget which, I think it was Australia, by a lady who was deeply involved in a Nazi occult society that was an offshoot of the Lettersborn program, where the Nazis were scientifically breeding very pale white children with very light skin, white skin, and blue eyes, and very light blonde hair. And and then this lady who operated in Australia, she had a cult called The Family. And you see the pictures. I've seen the pictures. And you see the children being raised, and they're all eerie because their skin is so white and light. It's conspicuous. They're almost albino, and their eyes are either very light blue or gray, and they have it's almost white hair versus blonde hair. And so I'm looking at these young girls and these very young boys who have these very light skin features with the gray or the light blue eyes and the blonde hair. And one of them is Julian Assange, allegedly, according to this journalistic article. And according to this journalistic article, allegedly, he was raised by this Nazi cult leader type woman. And these kids that he was part of, this family, they were introduced to massive doses of LSD and all kinds of weird rituals and stuff. So that doesn't say that Julian Assange is or isn't. But that's a bizarre childhood with a cult-like background. And so we have many other individuals that have strange composite backgrounds that just raise questions. And the things that are common are the cult-like background, the satanic rituals, the mind control rituals, sexual experimentation at extremely young ages, and the use of psychedelic drugs like LSD. So I think they're among us, they're functioning. And that is something that we need to consider. So when we look, we have to go back though to the beginning of the world and the basic template. Lucifer did a home invasion of the Garden of Eden and caused Adam and Eve to reject the word of God, and they activated the law of sin and death, and Lucifer by theft became the temporary god of this world, which he now manages this world through a hierarchy of demonic powers and occult structures. And the primary structure since the beginning of time, before the flood, the primary Luciferian structure was to raise up what I call Pharaoh God Kings and a satanic a monetary system, satanic government, and satanic religions to control empires and societies. And so they didn't want the masses of common people to understand these powerful occult secrets or the secrets themselves. In order to keep their power, they had to guard their secrets, especially economically. So they've passed them secretly from empire to empire. Babylon, ancient Egypt, and then, you know, the divine right of kings in Europe, and so on and so forth. They changed names of the organizations. At one time it was the Rosicrucians, and then it was the Illuminati, etc. So we now live in our modern world with a globalist system, that the globalist system controls the world, but the people at the very top of this globalist system belong to international banking families, and they have a very high percentage among these upper-level hierarchy families. They have a very high percentage of secretive elite men and women that are born to super wealthy elite families that are involved in Luciferian worship, the occult, Satan worship, and the Illuminati. And these people are controlling the world through globalist organizations and multinational corporations and armies and governments and religions and psychedelic drugs and media and so on. So what we have, and people really need to grasp this and understand this, and kind of stop walking around in a trance and a stupor, because the average person in America is walking around in a Disneyland trance. They're clueless, especially Christians, which is appalling, since Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth sets you free." They're walking around in a trance state, like they're stumbling around with a flashlight in the movie The Matrix, and they can't see the obvious, which is there's an invisible hierarchy of total control over every power center, economics, media. So when we're talking about presidential debates and the influence of the globalists, if we're talking about potential economic crisis, if we're talking about World War III and Russia and China and Syria and all these things, there is a control mechanism behind it that is ruling the masses. Because these people have said, by their own words, they view themselves as gods, and they view the masses as their slaves. So they are ruling, and they're using occult spiritual power, which is very real, just as real as nuclear energy, to control the world and the consciousness of the world. And that's why our world is swirling right now through manufactured crisis, manufactured chaos, because their operating motto is order through chaos, or new world order out of chaos. And so when we talk about the political elections and who's behind this candidate and who's behind that candidate, essentially the globalists are rigging, or attempting to rig, the system. And it's very interesting that one candidate is being attacked by all the globalists, being attacked by the tech companies, being attacked by the Democrat elite and the Republican elite. And notice how these so-called conservative Republicans, like the Bush family and many other Republican elite politicians, they all say they're voting for Hillary. Well, that's impossible if they were ever conservatives, because the ideologies are conflicting. They are and always have been globalists. I mean, Bush Sr. called openly for the New World Order. All the Bushes are globalists. They've never been conservatives. And I doubt very seriously that they've ever been Christians like they claim to be. I think that they have enough intelligence to have mastered the art of deception, and they have sucker-punched the evangelical church, which insists in staying in a stupor with these bogus claims of praying with Billy Graham and holding a Bible and being a photo opt outside of a church. It's all baloney. They're globalists, and they're involved in secret societies like Skull and Bones, and they're involved in the religion of secret societies.
You just said a whole lot there, Paul, and covered a lot of ground when it comes to, you know, this underbelly and the leaders the faces we see, the leaders of the spiritual darkness in high places. And, you know, when you were talking there, I know this is one small part of what you were getting into, but the Super Bowl halftime show, you see the, I know that it's been the last few years, these, you know, Lady Gaga's going to do it this year, and from Beyonce to Katy Perry to Rihanna, you see a lot of the MK Ultra mind control stuff in their music videos, from, you know, the Mickey Mouse ears to the, you know, the different color and visual symbolism that people have come to know and associate with MK Ultra. And these people seem to be doing, they have the same rotation for these guests in the Super Bowl halftime shows and these different award ceremonies. And then you see these people propped up, given their own, you know, lines of makeup or beauty products, whatever it is. But it seems that they are awarded a higher status amongst, you know, these entertainers and celebrities. And it seems that, you know, the people who have come out and outward spokenly about selling their soul and, you know, being turned over wholly to evil are openly rewarded with these, you know, fame and riches and whatnot.
But you know what, Joe? I mean, you just said it, because it's these people are not hiding behind the veil of normalcy anymore, are they? I mean, it's in their face. And I don't know, but it's almost as if we are to accept this. But I mean, what you and Paul are talking about here is so in your face. And Paul, you mentioned a word that hierarchy. Wow, that struck home with me when you mentioned that hierarchy over all of these different venues, different areas.
And there has to be, because you think about the just the way the economy works, the different, and in our government, the compartmentalization there. There has to be a hierarchy even within these, you know, from the entertainment industry to the sporting world to all these different industries. There has to be compartmentalization, because a lot of people, I don't think, would really go along with the agenda if they knew what they were really getting into when they signed on. It's just like, you know, Freemasonry or, you know, these secret societies. You have these different degrees, and you don't learn, you know, the real truths of what's going on till you get to the upper echelons or the top levels. And that's done for a reason. Just like, you know, people don't, you know, we talk about this a lot. You couldn't have introduced the 1990s or year 2000 culture into television in the 1950s because it would have been rejected. It has to be slow. It has to be subtle. And it has to, you know, over a course of time, change you to the point where everything, you know, becomes normal, and it becomes more absurd as we go along. But these changes that we see can't happen overnight. They need, you know, they need that compartmentalization. They need that structure and backbone there.
You know what was great, Joe, and as we're talking, as I'm listening, and we're listening to Paul and folks, you're listening at home and to Paul McGuire talk. I remember you and I picking him up at the airport in Dallas and having it just you know what, folks, to listen to Paul McGuire in the confines of a vehicle for what, 15, 20 minutes, a half hour or whatever. You learn more. I learned more from Paul McGuire in 30 minutes than I think back to a couple of college courses, you know, that I've learned in higher learning. And so blessed to have Paul McGuire as our guest. PaulMcGuire.us is his website. That's PaulMcGuire.us. Folks, grab a hold of A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016, 2017, and his prayer meeting October 13th. Sign up.
We'll be right back. Today.